I'd like to welcome everybody to Behind the Badge, Illinois. This is a show with police professionals, law enforcement professionals, to talk about topics that are occurring every single day, but get a police officer's viewpoint of those topics. And let's go around the horn and introduce our expert panel. We'll start ladies first, retired Colonel Mimi McGrill. Hi, Mimi.
Yes, thank you. So my name is Mimi McGrill, born and raised on the southeast side of Chicago in a neighborhood called Hegwisch. I started with the Illinois State Police in 1997 and started my career in patrol after graduating from the academy, came to District Chicago. I served my whole career in patrol and made sergeant, master sergeant, lieutenant, and captain in District Chicago, and had a great opportunity to work with David Byrd, who's also on this panel here. And I eventually became the colonel of the Division of Patrol in 2020. Also, just my personal life, I'm a mother. I have four children. I'm married to a retired Chicago police officer. And we're looking forward to, you know, sharing our experiences with this panel and with the public and other police officers. So thank you for having me.
Deputy Director AJ Bailey, how are you, AJ?
Doing great. We do have so much experience and expertise on this panel, and I'm so excited to hear more about how everybody feels about every topic that we come across. A little bit about myself: born in Urbana, raised in Springfield, Illinois. So I'm your Central Illinois representative over here. And I've loved every minute of it. I've got two kids. I have a 5.5-year-old boy and a 4-month-old baby girl. So they are just treats, and they are my whole world. When I was little, I wanted to work in the media and be a detective. So it's kind of a weird mix there. So I went the media route at first, worked in radio from 2007 to 2020. Then I worked in TV from 2011 to 2022. And then I came over to the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. I wanted to help, and I wanted to do good, and I wanted to help those who help others. And that's really what law enforcement, I'm so proud to be a part of this association. I can't stress that enough. And so proud to know and get to know each and one of these individuals and these chiefs and deputy chiefs, sergeants and lieutenants that I have met since being part of this association. And I'm really excited to get the positive messaging out through this podcast.
All right. Well, thank you. Chief David Byrd, you're up.
Thanks for having me. Of course, right now, currently, I'm the chief of the DeKalb Police Department, and I'm enjoying this job. I've been doing it since 2021. But prior to that, I was with the state police for approximately 32 years. And this has been a career goal. This has been a calling for me. I have a picture put up behind me that I was 5 years old wearing a badge because I knew I wanted to be a police officer, and I never wavered at any point about what I wanted to do with my life when it came to my career. So born and raised on the south side of Chicago. I love my family. I have three children, two boys and a girl. I'm engaged, and I have a new grandson that I walked into. I just walked into that. So that's been great as well. And I'm just very excited about the opportunity to speak about what law enforcement officers are dealing with every day, especially the rank and file. I think it's important that we hear that testimony at some point throughout this endeavor, make sure we get them on so you can hear from them. And I want to get our families on so they can speak about how it is to be, you know, a family member of someone in law enforcement, because it can be nerve-wracking. And I want to hear them give their own testimony. So thanks for having me. I'm excited. It's a great panel. So I'm looking forward to it, Dave. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us here. We have our downstate representative, Chief Steve Johnson. Welcome, Chief Johnson. Please introduce yourself, bud.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was born and raised in a farm field, what everybody believes if you're not from Chicago. Been 35 years in law enforcement. According to my parents, when I was about 7 years old, I was clearing our garage in the backyard of bad guys. So I think I've always wanted to be a cop. my entire life. My dad was a St. Louis City police officer after he got back from Vietnam as a United States Marine. Started at St. Clair County Sheriff's Department when I was actually the age of 14 as a law enforcement explorer. Then I got hired as a civilian, paid my own way through the police academy. It was the only $700 I ever borrowed from my parents, and I paid it back before I graduated. Got hired at the Sheriff's Department as a patrol deputy. I actually worked in a jail for a short time and in dispatch before 911, and started on patrol and worked the streets in East St. Louis for many years. Got promoted up through the ranks, sergeant, master sergeant, lieutenant, and captain, and retired from there. And then went to Swansea, Illinois Police Department as their chief of police for about 8 years. And then I became the chief in Fairview Heights in 2021 as their police chief also. And, you know, I got to say this. We talked about family. The most important thing in my life is my two daughters. And I have two grandkids. I am law enforcement all the way through everywhere. But I think I pride myself more on being a citizen and the things that we do in the community and tying together law enforcement. So I'm happy and honored to be here, and thank you.
All right. Well, thanks for joining the panel. Last but not least, Lou Jogman, my neighbor here in Highland Park, good friend of mine. You and I talked about putting this together about 2 months ago, and here we are. So your dime, your dance floor, bud.
Yeah, you don't mess around. It's nice to finally get this this thing started. Really got a lot of hopes and aspirations for what we're going to be able to do with this panel. Boy, after listening to the experience that's sitting around this with this group, it is inspiring and it's exciting. I think conceptually, and we're going to talk about that next, I know what we're really here for. I'm just really excited about that. And I've had the opportunity to work with everybody on this panel. And my name is Lou Jogman, chief of police currently for the city of Highland Park. So I grew up in Tinley Park, Illinois, so South Side. My dad was a police officer in Tinley Park. Certainly can get into that at some point down the road when we're talking about families. But my dad was a police officer, and in 1977, after exchanging himself for a hostage, was shot in the head. He ended up living for a while after that. I was very fortunate to have him, and certainly inspired me and taught me about being selfless and serving others. And so I really was inspired by my dad to get into this business and to kind of carry on where he left off. And to no surprise, my mom was not thrilled. I don't think anybody could be surprised about that. But I hope to, and I work every day to kind of live up to his legacy and to keep him proud. He is no longer with us, but I do work that way. He's over my shoulder. And I try to work every day to make sure I'm honoring the work he did and the sacrifice he made. So I knew I wanted to be a police officer pretty young, like the rest of this panel. I think it was just in us. And so I ended up, you know, trying to keep myself straight and narrow, stay out of trouble. I ended up going to the University of Illinois in Champaign, got a psychology degree. One thing my dad taught me was that, you know, have something to fall back on if something happens with work. And so I wanted to make sure I got a degree in something that I was interested in and then kind of applied to work. So I got that degree, ended up getting my master's in industrial organizational psychology. 93, I took a job at the Prospect Heights Police Department. And that was my first job in law enforcement, loved it. But then another department called, and it was a little bit larger of a department. And I wanted to live in the community that I worked in. And so Park Ridge was where I spent 25 years, roughly, you know, working pretty much everything at a suburban police department up to deputy chief. And then I got really, really lucky that Highland Park was looking for a police chief in 2018, threw my name in the hat. And I've been blessed to work here with these men and women. They are an incredible group, truly an incredible group of people. I've been here 6 years and still look forward to coming to work every single day with them. And, you know, it's my second family. And then my first family, I have my beautiful wife who I've been married to with, and I've got three kids. One's about to get married, one's graduating college, and one's graduating high school. So a big year for the Jogman. So I'm hoping to get a little check from this, right? We get something, David. We're getting some
huge royalties. Kind of, yeah.
Huge royalties are paid because I'm definitely in the market for something. But so listen, this concept is an important one to all of us, and I'll share why. We can't do it without our communities, and our officers need the support. We need to work closely with our communities, and our communities need to know what it is we're doing, transparency, and all of the things that go along with that. So we really want this podcast, Behind the Badge in Illinois. That's what we're really trying to work for. In Illinois, we have these principles, these 10 shared principles of law enforcement that the NAACP and Illinois chiefs have partnered together. And those principles really guide the work we're doing in Illinois. And one of those principles is transparency. There's one about transparency. Another one of the principles, number 8, is that the public really has a duty and ownership to kind of understand to the extent they can our work. So when they see something on the news and maybe it's presented in a certain way, they have a little more background information to make a judgment about what the police are doing without being a police officer, of course. And that helps us in our work because they do understand to the extent they can the realities of our work. So we all at our individual police departments do citizens police academies where people come through, spend some time, get to see kind of the behind the scenes. Well, that's what this is designed to do. And that's what our hope is, you know, in bringing this to you is to talk about contemporary topics and show you things that maybe you're not going to get on the news media because, you know, they're giving you a two minute, you know, news bite. We really want to give you the insight and the background of law enforcement. And we want to give you other things, too, that can help keep you safe. Things of information about what's going on around the state, topics that, you know, people are concerned about and how I can go about my life and be safe. So those are the kind of things we're going to do. There's a partnership. That's why Deputy Director AJ Bailey's on here with the Illinois Chiefs. And so the Illinois Chiefs are helping to sponsor this along with Team Hochberg, David's work and group that he does. So there's a lot going on. This show, the inaugural show, we're going to name each show. This one is going to be known as 1041. And so 1041 for all of you non-police folks out there is one of our 10 codes, you know, 10-4, all the different things you hear on the radio. 1041 means you're starting your tour. So officers will get on the radio and say, I'm 1041. And that just means they're starting their tour. So how appropriate for us. We're starting our podcast somewhat smoothly, a little bit smoothly.
It's off to a great start. Exactly how I planned it, because I wanted you to take the lead, pass the baton to you the first segment. What blows me away is the over 100 years of law enforcement experience we have between Mimi, David, Steve, and Lou, which is outstanding and unbelievable. So I'm looking forward to this. So we're gonna launch this right now with recruitment is not only a challenge in law enforcement, it's a challenge throughout every single segment of the economy. Everybody's having trouble finding employees, okay? And being a first responder is being an employee of a local police department. Firefighters are having the same thing, EMTs, factory workers. Everybody's having trouble finding workers. And I figured Lou and I were talking and the crew here was talking. Let's dive right into it. Let's dive into recruiting. What are you guys doing to attract candidates to join law enforcement? Steve, I'll throw it over to Steve first, because you mentioned that you joined through an Explorer program when you were a young boy. Are you doing that sort of program right now, Steve? And I'd love to hear from Mimi, Dave, and Lou as to what your experience has been to try to attract young people into law enforcement. What are you guys doing down in Southern Illinois, Steve?
Yeah, Dave, that's a great point. I started law enforcement as a law enforcement explorer, which you do ride-alongs, you help out at the department, you learn about law enforcement. And for years and years and years, my department has always had a law enforcement explorer post where I'm at now at Fairview Heights. Right. The problem now is we are immensely struggling to get enough kids to be interested in it to keep it going now, unlike any time before. For close to 30 years now, I've taught at a community college. So kids coming right out of high school, going into college, and I've always taught about 3, maybe 4 online classes. And for the first time ever in the last few years, they're not making. Not enough people are coming out of high school who want to go into law enforcement. So we're definitely looking at new ways of grabbing a hold of younger people who want to get into law enforcement. We had a cadet program where we started younger in school to entice them to learn about physical fitness, staying healthy, staying, you know, out of trouble, that type of stuff. And that worked great for a while. And now we're struggling again. You know, I think about the last few people I interviewed to be a police officer. They actually asked me this question. Do I have to work holidays? And I'm like, no, the police department shuts down on the holidays. You know, they're incredibly intelligent, but it definitely is a different philosophy. Now, that's not all of them. Some of them are exceptional, but we're definitely hiring and retention is our crisis in law enforcement nationwide now.
I'll throw it over to Mimi. Mimi, when you were with the state police, what were some of the programs that ISP, Illinois State Police, used to attract and encourage new members to come to ISP?
Yes. Yeah, so one of the things that we did, and this was more of like a lateral program. So we never had a lateral program in the Illinois State Police. And this was more where we were targeting prior law enforcement. I know, you know, it worked for us because our academy is in Springfield. So people didn't want to drive all the way to Springfield and you live there for the week. You spend, you know, Sunday night through Friday at the academy. So if you have families, it can disrupt family life. So what we did was it was an 11-week program where you would do most of your work where you live. And then you would, it was kind of part-time. So the first 3 weeks you'd be at the academy, you'd go home, you'd work remote, you would work in that region that you lived in. And then at the end of the 11-week program, you would come back to the academy for, you know, it's called our riot training and, you know, civil unrest training. So we would do that. And that attracted some. But I do think that there's a lot of competition now. So we talked earlier just offline about some of the police departments are offering more money. And, you know, we're obviously like with the state police, we can't give you more money, but we can give you the experience and so on. Now, one of the things that I feel that Steve touched on was the young, like bringing up the younger, you know, high school, like recruiting at the high school level, recruiting at the college level, you know, bringing it when you're 21, you can start doing the ride-alongs. So those are all things that that I think have worked. I can honestly say that, you know, bringing in the ride-alongs and having them do ride-alongs with the state police, we've actually ended up hiring a lot of them. So there's different, you know, there's definitely a lot of challenges, like with the salary, you know, that's another thing. So I do feel that you have to want to do this. You have to want to make a difference. You have to want to, you know, be willing to help people. This isn't just a 9-to-5 job. There's a lot that comes with it and it's required with it. So I do think we could still do a better job at recruiting, but I do think it needs to start younger, like high school, you know, early college level.
I'm going to throw it over to Chief David Byrd, who's in DeKalb, Illinois, which is the home of the Harvard of the Midwest, my alma mater, Northern Illinois University, class of 88, by the way, marketing business. Yeah, just so I throw that out there. What are you guys doing up in DeKalb? You've got DeKalb High School, Sycamore High School. You've got the university with 20-some thousand students right in your backyard there. What are you guys doing to help that recruiting from the base level of starting from the high schools, you know, to build upon what Steve was talking about, the Explorer program that got him excited about it? So what are you guys doing and your department doing, if anything, up in your surrounding area to entice younger participation in law enforcement?
Law enforcement, probably one of the toughest jobs there is right now. I mean, you can argue that point. I'm sure the military will have something to say, fire department. Okay, I get it. You can argue it. But I'm telling you, in my opinion, my own humble opinion, it's the toughest job out there right now. So trying recruitment is so hard right now because we are doing our best to make amends in certain cases for some of the actions that occurred in our history. If you go back to Rodney King, I'll speak on Rodney King because I worked the street that night when that situation occurred in Los Angeles with Rodney King. And, you know, after that event, I mean, it really put a black eye on law enforcement. And I'll be honest with you, if we'd had social media the way we do now, we'd be in even more trouble. I mean, during that time, we didn't have social media. It wasn't so prevalent. So we didn't get loop after loop after loop of, you know, seeing what occurred to him on that day. So that put a black eye on law enforcement. And there have been several other high-profile incidents that I think we all can speak of, like George Floyd and a few other incidents that we all know what they are. But it's really put us behind the eight ball. And the reason why I know that is because, and I will tell you, you know, for me being a police officer, I've been doing this job, it'll be 35 years this August, right? My brother, Chicago police officer. We have four, and I just speak of young men because usually young men follow their dads in their career choices in some cases, just like Lou did. Lou followed his dad. We have four boys. None of them want to be police officers. None of them. And I would tell you, and I can say this with confidence, we're their heroes. They look up to us. So you would normally think that those, at least one of the boys would want to be in law enforcement. At this point, none of them. And there are four boys. So I think that's telling in a lot of ways. You know, so what we do here at DeKalb is we try to even go further than high school. We do this program called Fun Jam in the Park. I started it last year. It was amazing. We go out in the parks. We play with the kids. We have chessboards set up, Uno games set up. We try to, you know, we try to interact with them at an extremely early age. Number one, so they can get to know who we truly are. So what the police officers are really about, who we really are. And, I remember one of our community activists was like, well, you know, chiefs, you know, maybe if you don't wear the uniform. I said, no, I'm wearing the uniform every time I come to this because I'm not going to hide who I am. OK, this is who I am. This is part of my, you know, it was a career goal for me. Is it all who David Byrd is? Of course not. But it's a big part of it. I wear this uniform more time, you know, during the day, 12 hours, 16 hours a day. So it's who I am. So although I know that sometimes it'll probably be a good idea to not go in uniform, which I've taken that opportunity to do that. But I'm not going to hide that I'm a police officer. I shouldn't have to. So we spend this time with the kids early on, playing with them, trying to be impactful at an early age. So when they get to high school, you know, when they start talking about careers, when it really is a career conversation occurring, law enforcement is going to be one of the careers that they actually think of and seriously consider being a part of the law enforcement community and the profession as it is. You know, so that's kind of one of the things we're trying to attack at a very young age. I just did a reading at one of our elementary schools the other night. They say, Chief, would you come in and read to the kids? Of course, I'll come and read to the kids. We're going back to the officer-friendly component because I remember being in school, like I said, Chicago, the CPD would come in and give us coloring books. It was all police, you know, these coloring books. I couldn't get enough of those coloring books. So, and I think those are the opportunities that we have to take. So we need to start even earlier than high school. I really believe that.
All right, Lou, we're going to come 100 miles from DeKalb up to Highland Park. What are you guys doing up in the North Shore to try to recruit and encourage residents and citizens to become police officers?
So a lot of the same things that everybody's trying. You know, we've got internship programs where we've got right now we've got a college senior from ISU completing a 6-month internship here. So we work with our schools. But I want to give a little context too. I mean, for our viewers again, and people who are going to watch this, why is this important to them? You know, I think that's what we're trying to offer here, the little insight to behind the scenes and how it affects the day-to-day person. So some context about this. Everybody's having recruitment problems. I talk to my friends in private industry and in different places, you know, and so, yeah, you may go to a coffee shop and you may wait in line a little bit longer and okay, that's going to happen, or a restaurant. But why does it matter if we don't have enough cops? Well, I think we all kind of know what can happen if we don't have public safety. You can hear the stories around the country where they're not, you know, police departments aren't responding to certain calls for service anymore. They can't. They don't have the capacity, even emergency calls. I mean, so our business is a lot different than a lot of our friends and colleagues. It is a public safety issue. And so when we've got recruitment issues, and retention issues. It doesn't just affect our individual police departments. It ultimately is going to affect the safety and security of our community. So everybody listening here, it's important for them to realize that it's a concern. It's, you know, I hate to use the word crisis at this point and the sky is falling, but it is a concern that we are not able to staff like we used to be able to. So as a point of reference, when I took, you know, there's a certain process and how you become police officer. There's written testing and physical testing, and you do all these things, go to different departments and get on their lists. You know, and years ago, and Chicago's no exception, they used to have 20,000 people come, you know, apply for a police department, a police job. When I tested for Park Ridge, we had 3,000 for a job, or a handful of jobs. The list would be good for 2 years. We're lucky now. There are towns that get 7 people that show up for a job. And again, unfortunately, they may not be the 7 that, you know, you truly think are most qualified, maybe, and appropriate for that job. And so here's the concern. You know, we are doing all of this reflection, and we're making changes in law enforcement and accountability. And if you start hiring the wrong people because nobody else will take the job, and you start lowering your standards, what is that going to do to that cycle? We're going to end up having officers who make worse decisions, bad decisions, and it isn't going to build the trust and respect that we need between law enforcement and community. So that's where our concern is right now. I would ask, I'll ask the panel, you know, let's just make an assumption. Years ago, pilots, you know, there'd be 4,000 people for one pilot's job. So they're taking the best of the best. Feel pretty good about getting on that plane, right?
That's right.
How about now? How about 6 people show up and they're not really the people? They're people that they used to turn away, but you know what? They've got to keep the planes flying. So they're going to hire those people. How do you feel about getting on that plane? And that's kind of the analogy that we're talking about here in law enforcement. We're not comfortable with it. But when I ask my friends, families, colleagues, you know, when we start talking about this, I'm like, okay, how about your son or daughter? Are they interested? Oh, no, not my son or daughter. Well, that's kind of where we're at. And so it is a concern, and it should be a concern to our public, because ultimately you want to have the best police officers out there performing the work. And even when we did in the past, we still had missteps. We still had issues, and you're going to in any business. But is that problem going to be exacerbated now that we're getting people maybe that, you know, aren't as qualified? So it is a concern for all of us around this table, around this panel. I know, you know, I forgot to mention it in my introduction, you know, I'm a past president for the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. So I've been around the state. It's a 1400 member organization. I've heard the concerns. This is top of the list for police chiefs and administrators in Illinois and across the country. There are police departments across the country. In California, there's one that's offering a $75,000 bonus to take the job because they're 88 officers short. And it's a bigger department, but 88 officers is a lot.
How many spots do you have open, Steve, down south in downstate Illinois in your department?
So we have a total of 46 officers, and we are 4 short right now. We just went through a hiring campaign.
Okay. And
it's almost 10%, right? I mean, Steve, that's like almost 10%, right? I mean, that's
right.
And Dave, how many, if any, are you short up in DeKalb?
So we are above the staffing that we have ever had in DeKalb. So that's a good thing. I want to be transparent about that. We're at 67 now. We're on our way we're budgeted for 73. So we're 6, which is way high. When I first got here, though, Dave, we were at 52 counting me, so at 52. Now we're at 67 on our way to 73. So, but it's still, the question is, am I getting the cream of the crop? That's the biggest question. And I've been holding myself and the commanders, we talk about this on a regular basis when it comes to recruitment, I'm holding us accountable, because what I'm saying is candidates have to come up to our threshold. As what I mean by that is that, what is the measuring rod for the DeKalb Police Department to be a police officer here? The candidates have to come up to that level. We're not coming down. They have to come up. And I've been holding my line. So it's going to take me a while to get those 6 because, like Lou said, I mean, we want the cream of the crop. We can't just take anyone because this job is too important and it's too impactful. So it might take me a while to get to the 6, Dave, is what I'm saying, because I'm going to hold them accountable to come up to our standards.
Louis, how many positions are you short, if any, up in Highland Park?
So we ebb and flow. We're a 60-person department. We've been as short as 6 or 7. So, again, 10%. But again, we've been doing a heavy recruitment, and so we're only one down right now. But again, in talking to people in my in neighboring, I'm hearing seven down and eight down. Chicago, thousands down. And it really depends, too, on where you are. Some departments are able to pay and compensate a little more than others. So there are a lot of factors. But overall, the numbers, there's no question, nationally are just down, down, down.
Well, I stopped in to see my chief here in Northbrook, and there was a posting for hiring. Right. So
did you get an application?
Well, I got an application, and, you know, Chief Kennedy thanked me for filling out and wasting the ink and the application, mm-hmm. and said there's no shot I would pass the psychological background check. So I just wanted to let you know there. But, you know, Mimi, you're married to a Chicago cop, right? Retired Chicago police officer. A lot of the white shirts and a lot of the blue shirts are coming to the burbs. Right. Because, you know, they're trying to get out of the city. They've done their time in the city. They get their retirement package, and 30 seconds later, they're out the door. And some of the police officers I've worked with, I've done their loans for, you know, their mortgages on their homes in Chicago, because, as you know, you have to live in 606. They're running to the burbs for that second job. Can you quickly talk about that, what the mentality of the Chicago police officer rank and file is right now?
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, part of them, I believe now they have some sort of an agreement that they have to stay on the job for a certain amount of time if they do get on Chicago PD, because they were losing early applicants or early, you know, within their first one to 3 years, they were losing those officers to the suburbs. You know, having to live in the city is a big deal, like, to a lot of people. So I feel like you have, you know, you have the ones that are kind of in the middle, 17, 20 years on, that are going to ride it out because of that insurance. You get, you know, you have to wait till you're 55 to get that insurance. So they're riding it out. I know a whole lot of them that are just waiting to get to that age to get the insurance. But I do think just all around, it's just really hard to retain, especially in the city. You know, crime rate. I mean, that's always going to be a thing too. But just overall, you know, I think everybody across the country sees the numbers, you know, declining in policing, which I agree with everything what Lou said. You need the best people in this, and same with Dave, like, we need the best people for these jobs, because our jobs come to, you know, it's, you know, we're one of the only jobs that it comes down to life or death for some of us. So I do think that that's also, you know, that's not glamorous to, you know, younger people that might want to get on the job. The fact that you can, you know, you can die in the line of duty on this job. And same with parents. They don't want their kids, you know, becoming police officers for that same reason. And the spotlight's on us. So those are just things that we're trying to get through and get more, you know, people to join this profession.
AJ, what's the chief's organization doing to help support the chiefs on the recruiting endeavors?
Well, first of all, I just want to echo Lou's statement about that is our number one issue is recruitment and retention amongst our members. That is what they said is their number one concern. So we're trying our best. We've got a linebacker program where we're trying to help departments fill like chief positions with some of our retired chiefs, because even chiefs are they're kind of being hard to find. And then we're also trying some other things. We've got a job board on our website that we're putting that up there. We're trying to get those jobs out on social media. We're also a big part of what I'm trying to do is spread the positive messaging of what it is to be an officer. And, you know, that there are good people in this profession, and there are it's a great profession to be a part of. And I love all the people that I have gotten to know throughout my year and a half that I've been here. And I look forward to getting to know them even more. And I got to know them in the beginning also when I worked in media. So if you want to talk about another profession where it's hard to get some good people in there, and they also have some recruitment issues, and they're viewed a little bit differently as well. So I came from that field and moved over to this one. But we've got a lot of different opportunities here with this podcast and with different other avenues that we have, with newsletters and magazines and things like that, to get our message out there and trying to get more officers in there. Recruitment is such a big issue. I have an article that we had in our Command magazine recently about recruiting the new generation of police officer, because that's also something that's different, is that this generation that's coming out of college that we're trying to hire, they're so different from those who wanted to be a part of the profession before. And for those of you who want to pick up an issue, you can head to our website. We've got some more information there. Patrick Solar, who's one of our members, and also he works with the University of Wisconsin, he wrote this article, and it was just, it was very eye-opening. And I think it was really eye-opening, too, to a lot of our chiefs. So how they can relate to some of these people who are coming in and filling out applications and want to be officers. And to echo somebody else's point about how their kids didn't want to be cops, I will say, since I became a part of this association, my 5.5-year-old son has wanted to be a cop ever since. And he goes around wearing his badge and he absolutely loves it. But he also does want to be Abraham Lincoln. So it's kind of, it could go either way. So, you know, but he does love being a cop and talking to Mr. Kinney and talking all about chief stuff. He talks about Chief Lou as well, because he hears you on meetings and things.
We'll tell you, I'm going to get you an application for him, and we can't start him too young, so we'll get him going.
And that's also a really good point, that we do have to start younger. We can't just start in high school and college and other things. We have to start them younger. And something that I'm noticing from the different departments that I've been in contact with and that I view and try to share their messaging and try to share their information is they are starting younger, and they're going into these elementary school classrooms, talking to the kids, doing fun activities with them, reading to them. And it's really, I think it's making such a big difference. And even these officers are showing up on the first day of school. And I think Chief Bird has something he wanted to say real quick.
No, I didn't want to go ahead, AJ. I just got a point out to finish. Yep.
Okay. So yeah, it is a really good opportunity to start these kids even younger. And an interesting avenue that I came across since starting with the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police is over in Macomb at their high school. They have a criminology club that they started, and that's getting kids really interested in the profession of law enforcement and different avenues, instead of just being an officer, forensic science and things like that, which I'm sure is also being difficult for recruitment. But being able to have that criminology club, it helps introduce them to, and their SRO is a big part of it. Their chief of police over in Macomb, a big part of that. We ended up doing, I'll have another future podcast and video that you'll probably check out from the Illinois Chiefs with a couple of the kids from the criminology club that decided they wanted to do that. So I think that's a really good thing to start even younger, and just because, you know what? Hey, like I said, I started out wanting to be a part of media or a detective when I was a kid. And I ended up, I'm kind of going both those routes. I'm not a detective, but I'm helping to work with law enforcement.
Chief Burt?
Yeah. So I was just going to say, you know, you're so right, AJ, when you're talking about, you know, we're talking about a new generation. I mean, I have TikTok, I have Chief Burt on the TikTok. I never thought I would TikTok. If, you know, posting and doing all these things and sharing information. But, you know, to be honest with you, that's how I get to this generation. I have to, you know, I am on TikTok a lot. I'm on Facebook a lot. They see my face a lot. So I do a lot of posting so I can connect with them. You know, when we came on the job, number one, you couldn't even have a tattoo. There's no way I can hire. I wouldn't be able to hire anybody if I had that. If I just told, hey, you can't have tattoos. There's no way I wouldn't be able to hire. I wouldn't be able to fill this department in any position, civilian or sworn. So, and those are the things that we had to accept in law enforcement. So you had to be able to pivot. And I have so many friends who I work with throughout the years. The reason why they retired, they said, you know what? They can't pivot like that. They don't know how to navigate the new generation. So it's a good thing that they retired and left, because they truly, being honest to themselves, they said, you know what, Dave, I couldn't deal with that, you know, and, you know, especially coming from the state police where everything is straight line. Those pants had to be creased. You know, a uniform has to look inspection ready every day. To, you know, to now accept people with tattoos was a big step for the ISP. And even here, you know, one of the things I will say, AJ, I'm glad your son wants to be a police officer at that young age, because that's how I was. But I will tell you, and I have to be completely honest about this, culturally, you know, the Black culture, the youth, they don't want to be the police. And the reason why is because, like I said, of some of those incidents that have occurred in our history, their families, their parents are saying, you don't want to be the police. I don't want you to be a police officer based on these criteria, because You know, and I'll be honest, as a black man, as a police officer, it's tough for me. It's always been tough for me because people look at you like, I can't believe you're in that profession. And they base it off some of the things that happened in our past. You know, with some of the, there were some bad situations that occurred. And there's no other profession where you get painted with a broad brush more than police officers. I mean, you get a bad plumber, all you do is get in the phone book, you call a new plumber, you don't even worry about it. But you get a situation that occurred in Los Angeles, it affected everybody, all the way to Chicago. I'm like, wow, that didn't happen here. But they don't care. So when it comes culturally, the struggle in the black culture is getting, like I see it in my recruitment. I interviewed 40 candidates a couple of months ago. I would tell you there were probably two African-American out of the 40. You know, so that, you know, they're not coming in the door. They're not, you know, they don't want this job. I'm just going to be transparent with you about it. I see it all the time just in the recruitment, talking to my brother. He's, like I said, he's a commander with CPD. We see the same thing. They truly do not want to be the police. So we have to do a better job in law enforcement in changing that whole posture, changing that perception so they will come and put in to be police officers and take this as a career. So we got a lot of work to do.
I think what Chief Dave is saying is just so spot on in so many ways. I grew up under the umbrella of a sheriff who did the job for 59 and a half years. And his name was Sheriff Merle Justice. I'll say that again. His last name was Justice. And why would you not vote for Justice? You know, every parade, he had an RV with Justice for All on it. Everybody voted for him over and over. He was a great law enforcement leader. And he would always say this: the worst thing that law enforcement does is sell the great job that they do. So I remember that as a young cop, but it didn't mean much to me. And then Ferguson happened. And our department, we're about 30 minutes away from Ferguson. So our armored vehicle and part of our SWAT team was over there. And I, of course, the news media, all they did was report the bad stuff. But there was a lot of good stuff that came out of that also. So I think as a result of that, I was invited to go to the White House under President Obama's term twice to talk about 21st century policing. And I'll never forget, they brought out the director of social media. And I thought it'd be an old guy, you know, white hair, white lab coat, maybe even a white beard. Sorry, Lou. Sorry about that. but it was some young guy that looked like he was 12 years old. He's an African-American guy. Turned out he graduated Harvard, Yale, incredibly intelligent. And what he said over and over again was very interesting to me. He said this: the only time that we hear from law enforcement is when you shoot someone. That is the only time we ever see any of your departments on nationwide news. So why aren't we spinning that around and selling the great job that we do? And I think that's part of it, of why, Chief Lou, I said yes to this, and hats off to you for starting this idea of all of us selling the great job that law enforcement does. In every aspect of law enforcement, we need to do better at it. And I'll prove it to you. When my cops do a great job, when they save someone's life, I say, hey, I need you to come to city council meeting to get an award. And they go, do I have to? And I'm like, well, since you're asking, yes, you do. You got to. And, you know, so I end up having to pay them to be there and all that. Now, when they show up, even though they didn't want to be there, they bring their spouse, their kids, their neighbors, someone they met on the street, because they're proud of it. But, you know, cops generally say, I'm just doing my job. It's just part of my job. And we need to make that more part of our job, that we sell the great job that we do, because every day we're saving lives.
All right. Well, AJ?
Just to add on to what he was saying, and it's true, the only time we do hear from officers and chiefs is when something has gone wrong. As someone who worked in the media, that was pretty much the only time we heard from everyone. And that's not a good representation of what it all it is that your job entails and what it all is that you do. So I feel we also kind of have to address the relationship with law enforcement, with the media, and improve that relationship in order to really improve the profession as a whole. And, you know, reach out to the media and let them know, hey, we've got this great activity going on. We've got this great award that's happening. And I guarantee you, they're probably looking for a story. They're always looking for a story. And these great stories and these great things that you guys are doing, being able to share that with media and then they can share that, I think it's only going to help the profession as a whole. And that may be just a, I know traditionally law enforcement hasn't wanted to talk to the media very much because of how things have turned out. But I think that's also going to have to be a thing where we kind of change the way we look at stuff.
I think maybe, you know, just a suggestion for a future topic is maybe, AJ, you could reach out to the chiefs throughout Illinois and just put feelers out to see what they're doing. You know, you've got Disco Dave Bird up there doing TikTok videos and, you know, what other outreach they're doing on social media. So we could bring those chiefs on or maybe their comms officer on and dive deeper. So other chiefs throughout the state could learn, what's working and more importantly, what's not working. And, you know, even more importantly, what is connecting with the residents of Illinois and build upon that. So that's another great segment that we could probably do. Lou, you want to add to that, bud?
I know we're winding it down right here. So just as a way of bringing it home, a couple of things, what Chief Bird talked about is really important. So it is all lived experience. You know, his lived experience is certainly different than mine, right? We're doing the same job now, similar job, same job, definitely come from different backgrounds. Of course, I respected police. My dad was shot in the head exchanging himself for hot. That's my lived experience. But where you grow up and the interactions you have, those are the challenges. So you put it really well. And I will say it offers us an excellent opportunity to further that discussion about the 10 shared principles that we do have here. That is going to be a great topic for conversation. Again, that was kind of born out of the Ferguson incident. And it was a collaboration between the NAACP in Illinois and the Illinois Chiefs. The Illinois Chiefs reached out because they recognized in 2015-16 that there were these issues that the Chief talked about, Chief Bird, historical, long-term, and their 10 principles that they worked on together. And I think it's going to offer us a great opportunity to discuss what we are doing in Illinois to deal with those past issues with these 10 shared principles that no other state's doing. It is really groundbreaking. We're proud of it. We're proud of the collaboration. And so we'll definitely make that as an episode as we wind this one up. We'll definitely make that part of our conversation going forward.
Yeah, we didn't cover. I know you quickly touched on the $75,000. Really didn't dive into the retention because we just got so wound up in.
It's going to happen.
Right. And this is just a work in progress for our listeners out there. But I just wanted to recap, right? We've got a chief in DeKalb who had experience with the state, who grew up in Chicago, who has a brother who's a commander in Chicago. We have Steve Johnson down in Southern Illinois who sent a SWAT team to Ferguson when all of that went down and all of the exposure and the experience that you and your team and all the knowledge that you're going to bring to our listeners about that experience and other experiences that happened. Because when you think of a small town in Southern Illinois, you don't think of sending a SWAT team to one of the biggest stories at the time. And then, of course, Lou and my friend Lou Jogman up here in Highland Park, we all know what happened on the 4th of July, that horrific event a couple of years back, and the experience that Lou experienced in addition to his father getting shot when he was a police officer. So I hope that everything that we covered here on this first show, as Lou said, 1041, our first show. And what's the call signal on the way out? So I don't.
1042.
1040. Oh, you guys are pretty technical. All right. 1041.
Hey, we're cops. We're cops. We like to keep it pretty simple, David. We don't want to make it too complex.
That's it. Okay. Well, there you go. 1042. We're on the way out here, but I'm going to throw something out there. I'm going to come up with an email address. I'll go to my IT person to, if you want to send ideas or comments, it's David@56David. That'll be, for this episode. I'll create something, David, at behind the badge It's not set up yet, so don't send emails there yet. That'll redirect to me. So any comments, concerns, ideas you want us to cover, some type of topic you like, you dislike, we'd love the feedback. I know all the Chiefs here and Mimi and AJ would love to know how we can make this better, because our goal is to bring you an hour of information a week of the different topics that's going on, and open your eyes to how the police chiefs and the law enforcement sees different topics that you hear about and you see about and you witness every day on the news and it's social media, right? I see gang members. Yeah, I like to cover this later in Chicago, disrespecting three or four squad cars at a time and pulling guns out and dropping gang sign and blowing, smoking marijuana in their faces. And, you know, I'd like to cover that at a later topic and how the police officers in Chicago and your officers address that. So these are all topical. It's a fluid type of a show, and we'd like your feedback. So david@56david.com. That's all I got. You guys want to end anything? AJ, want to add anything?
Just real quick for me, I just want programming notes. So we didn't fire Mimi, nor did she quit.
That's right.
So she's dropped off. If you stayed with us for the whole hour, you see she's not with us anymore online. So this job is very demanding and changes moment to moment. So we are going to be fluid on this show. I mean, there's something that could pop right now in Highland Park or Fairview Heights. Right. We're going to leave. I mean, it's just going to happen. So just as people, I want people to know, yeah, she didn't quit. She didn't, you know, we didn't fire her.
We had a previous engagement that we kind of ran a little long.
There's a lot going on for all of us, but we're committed to this. We want to definitely, like I said, connect with our state and let everybody know what's going on, but things happen. So just want to get that out there. Thank you.
All right. So on behalf of AJ, Chief Lou Jogman, Chief Steve Johnson, Chief David Byrd, and Mimi, thanks for listening to our first show. We'll be back next week. Thanks, everybody.
10:42.